Well, Father God, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for doing the things that you're getting rid of our enemies, right and left. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. Lord, we thank you for protecting Trump and his family and his administration. Lord, we thank you for giving him wisdom and discernment to run this country the way you want it run. And I praise you for that, Lord. I know he can be a hard man and maybe a touch of arrogance there, but Lord, you overlook those things. He needs that kind of an attitude sometimes to run this country. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty work in him. And when he's done, Lord, I ask and I pray that you baptize him in the Holy Spirit and fill him completely full. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Donald J. Trump. Lord, I just ask that tonight you lead us and guide us into the things that you want us to talk about. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time because we're going to be listening. We're going to be doing the things that you ask us to do and to tell us, Lord. Lord, I was reading today about how Christianity has really fallen off the log as far as what it is to be a disciple. And Father God, can y'all hear me? Okay. Well, it's probably because I got this over here. Is this better? Okay, sorry. Judah, that was your job to remind me. You're falling off here, girl. All right, let's see. And I thank you, Father, for leading us and guiding us tonight into talking about what things that you want us to talk about. And I praise you and I glorify you. Lord, I thank you for all these wonderful singers we got out here, too, in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, Lord, I think I'm just going to put a praise worship on right now in Jesus' name. And I think it'll lift everybody's spirit up to where you want us lifted, Lord. And it's what that Judy mentioned just a minute ago. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Behold him comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, yes. So lift your of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness,
cry, prepare the way.
Don't hear anything, Michael.
What happened? I thought it was maybe just me. You guys hear it? Ben, are you hearing it in your mind, or are you just singing it?
I can't hear it.
Michael, stop.
Can you hear it now? Can you hear it now? Thank you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold, the dry bones becoming as fresh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, yes, Lord. The fields are as white in your word.
Come on. Say.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
We come to Anaheim, California, to declare tonight, Jesus, there's no God like Jehovah. Nobody. Nobody. Not Buddha. Nor Muhammad. Nor Sun, nor the Moon. Nobody, 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 nobody,
what is it now, sir? What is it now, sir? What? It's up here, isn't it?
Cause your mama says so.
Do you want to go outside or something? What's the matter? You have to go outside?
Yeah, go on outside. Do whatever
oh,
she says. I'm
me?
Telling you.
Don't I'm you talking just... to my dog. Don't... I'm sorry.
Oh, no wonder he couldn't talk back.
Yeah. He won't tell me what he wants.
Oh, gosh. We figured you didn't know you was unmuted. Yeah, let's go outside.
I wasn't sure who you're talking to. I thought maybe it was Nick first.
Go ahead, Missy.
I don't want to go outside. I'd rather use the restroom.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you saying because your mother told you to? Like, what? I couldn't figure out why you said that. I thought, does this go along with the song? No.
No,
no,
I didn't. I heard you, and I said, I thought you was one of the kids. I said, you go on and do what your mama said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the dogs are one of the kids, right?
Yeah. All right. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Merle's one niece called in today to fill him in on her cousin, which is Merle's other niece, Diane, the one that's had cancer and she's had all these jabs. She called her mom was asked about Diane, and she didn't want to. She didn't want to talk about it, but she said, she says, even though she didn't want to talk about it, it sounded like she was still having faith for her. And I said to Merle, I said, well, maybe she's learning a little bit about faith and didn't want to speak what the bad report, you know, she didn't want to speak anything negative, you know. She wanted to be speak blessings and you know, speak positive. So, Father, I just praise you and I thank you that you're going to bring Diane through this, Lord, that you're giving her and the rest of the family revelations of what faith is, and that you are still the healer. And I rebuke this spirit of cancer off Diane. I thank you, Lord, for giving her more and more faith, and the rest of the family, the faith to believe that you are the healer and that you are the answer. You have the answer. You are the answer. And that give them a revelation, Lord. Give them revelation, Lord, that all they need to do is just believe you. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of cancer and the fear of cancer in the name of Jesus. I declare that Diane is healed by your stripes. She was healed 2,000 years ago upon the cross, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing that revelation to her in a mighty way and the rest of the family, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for this great miracle that it's already done, Lord. And every bit of cancer in her body is gone in the mighty name of Jesus. I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Let's pray for Trump. Lord, we ask and we pray that you listen, that you open up Trump's ears to hear that the Christian, so-called Christian people he's listening to are part of the false revival movement and the false prophetic movement. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you shut off everything that they recommend out of his ears. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he understands, Lord, the explanation that have been given about that movement and what happens to the people that enter that movement and get prayed for and their hands laid on them. When that happens, and Father, we praise you. We thank you for cleaning up anything that they have imparted to him. In the name of Jesus, we bind you up and cast you off of our president in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for a shield of protection around him that would guard him from any demonic entities that would want to try to take him over in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Missy.
I'd like to include any of his administration, Vice President Vance, also in Jesus' name, because he supposedly went over whatever. Mooney's wife, she declares herself to be the daughter of God or whatever. And there is a whole kind, all kind of big meeting over there. I forget the name of all that stuff and what all
Who are
that.
you talking about?
Couldn't explain it. Mooney's, the Moonies.
Oh.
There was some kind of big meeting back in February, I think, or something. Was it way back? Anyway, Vance was there, a representative of the Graham Ministries, and just all different kinds of religions just coming together and all that malarkey. And so baloney. So we thank you, Lord, for protecting all of President Trump's administration and his family and everyone, Lord. We declare in the name of Jesus that all of them that are well, every one of them are bad advisors. But anyway, we give them the boot in the name of Jesus. We give them the spiritual proverbial boot out the door. We send the angels to make sure of it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Yes, amen. Anyone else want to pray? We thank you, Lord, for giving him kingdom wisdom and the things that he has to make a decision on that it would help the American people and glorify you, Lord, and we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Trump. Father God, we just thank you for all the people that are in his administration. And Father God, we just ask and we pray that they would be they would have the wisdom and discernment to do the job that he has them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Julie.
Yeah, amen. Just add to that. Thank you, Father, for just protecting them, all of them. Lord, they're ignorant and they're innocent of a lot of these things because they're all politicians for the most part. They have a job to do, Lord. And we just bind up all this distraction of all this religious false influence that's trying to take over the White House. Let's just say that. I thank you, Lord, that there's nothing and nobody you can't save. And I thank you, Lord, that these people are not going to be moved or taken in by this stuff, that they don't have time for it. If they would even just give them that revelation, but I don't have time for this. I need to do my job. And I thank you, Lord, for just keeping a shield all around about everybody there, that they don't pick up any of that contagious religious stuff that's floating around through these people. And when it's time, Lord, that they're the ones that you're elected amongst them, God, they're going to come into the kingdom. They're going to be saved. But we just praise you, Father, that they're able to, as Missy and Michael both prayed, Lord, that just to discern that there's something not right about this. And even if they spend, even when they spend time, if they do spend time reading their Bibles, if they'll come across some of those scriptures, Lord, and they'll jump off the page at them. That would make them take heed to the false prophets and warning them and the Jezebels and these things and things that they're ignorant of, Lord. I know you did that for all of us, Lord. I think a lot of those people that went to these revivals and just had people lay hands on them, they were looking for the signs and the wonders and these great anointings and that kind of thing. So these people are doing their jobs in the White House and through the administration, they're not looking for that kind of stuff. They have too many other important things right now to get caught up in this other things and use it to that advantage, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. You're the God of all flesh. And they're in a lot of their flesh right now, Lord, and they don't know any difference. So thank you, God, for your grace and your sovereignty over these people's lives. And we bless them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you have all along protected your people. And you put these people in office. They've been appointed there to do their jobs, and you will fulfill your plans and purposes for Donald J. Trump, our Cyrus Trump, and those he has put in position to help him do his job. And that just goes everywhere, Lord, and ICE and the law enforcement and all these things that they're trying to clean up from the last many decades, Lord, of all the deep state stuff influences there. And we thank you for cleaning up all of that, Lord, and getting rid of the deep state and your grace that's about to be poured out upon everybody, God, because we surely don't deserve the blessings that are coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? I'll tell you what, somebody just described to me what a disciple of Christ is. Biblically speaking, I'm not ignoring you, Julie. I'm just ignoring you. Go ahead, Julie. I'm just kidding.
I know. In a just a simple way of saying it, somebody who wants to follow Jesus, be like Jesus, do the same kind of things Jesus did, and wants to learn, and wants to learn about the kingdom. And somebody that is somebody also that gets drawn by the Lord. You know, I think there's a lot of people out there that maybe start out, you know, as a disciple and things, but it's when they realize how hard it is, especially like sacrificing and serving, they may not want to do it anymore. Or, you know, there's all kinds of reasons, but just somebody who wants to learn about, follow Jesus and be like him. In a simple way of
Amen.
saying it.
That's a simple, but you left out one key component. Go ahead, Missy. Didn't you have your hand up?
Julie pretty much said what I was going to say. If there's something that I left out, then I would say someone who's led by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. All right, Ben.
A scripture comes to mind. A servant is no greater than his master. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And where did Jesus end up? He went to his cross. He pursued a life of selflessness. He gave an example of a wilderness walk that we need to follow. A disciple should not only want to be in this wilderness, but uses the faith that has been given to him or her to be able to walk in this wilderness, manifesting the fruits, using the gifts. I don't know. That's just to add on to what Julie and Missy are saying. They're walking to their cross. That's something that I want to add.
Amen. That's some of it. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, I was just gonna say, he said power, he said manifesting fruit. I was gonna say they're bearing fruit. So same thing. Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean?
They're living their life, the life of Jesus is coming out of them, and
Okay.
they're doing the works that he did.
Okay.
They're showing forth by the fruit of their lives, yeah.
Okay. And okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, in these days, it mentions in Matthew 24 and 25 that we have to be ready and to watch, and we want the Lord in our discipleship to grant us this grace to repent, to be ready and to watch, because he has to give us this vision to watch and this readiness to have in the future. So that's what we want in these days, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and not to love our lives unto death. Just it's by him that we get it all. You know,
Amen.
to repent and believe, this thing we're supposed to watch for is actually written in 24 and 25. And he has to give us this watching. It's something he gives us. And this repentance, it's for watching and being ready. You know, he's got to give us that in the future. We have to become what he wants us to become in Christ Jesus.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Go ahead, Julie. Amen, Andrew.
Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So somebody who wants to in addition to what everyone's saying, just you love Jesus and you want to keep his commandments and all that that means, and his grace that we even can keep his commandments, because he gives us the grace to keep his commandments and keep, you know, the law, what he writes on our heart. So I don't know whether key component you're getting at. If you abide in me, you will keep my commandments. So it's abiding, and that's continuing. And I'm sure you're going to tell us if we can't guess, figure it
yeah,
out.
I'm fixing
right?
to tell you. I'm fixing to tell you right now. It's Matthew chapter 28. I'll start in verse 18 and go through 20. Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are to make disciples of Christ. We are to preach the word, get the word in us and get the word out, and bring people into the kingdom. And all the other stuff that y'all said is true also. So nobody had a wrong answer. But the answer I was looking for is to go out and make other disciples, because that's what builds the kingdom. That's what populates the kingdom of heaven. It's when we do that. Did anybody want to comment on that other than Missy? No, go ahead, Missy. I'm just kidding.
Well, it doesn't say specifically this, but it says, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It says it in a different, and in other gospels, I think it says it differently. It's the Great Commission, basically. You're muted, Michael.
It says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations.
Right.
What does that mean? How do you make a disciple?
Well, you preach the gospel first so that they can be born again.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Amen. So you're right. Go ahead, Andrew.
I would have to ask that we get back to Jesus, because a lot of people are born again and there's a lot of sayings and mantras out there that they shouldn't be born again into. Really good chapter I was studying it today was 23 of Proverbs. You know, there's a lot of sayings that might be letter right, but not spirit right. And I know that they're even here. We tried to get them people to understand that the letter Israel country and the spirit Israel of God, which was in Galatia. And it was, I think it's also in the book of Romans chapter 9. So, you know, there is a spiritual Israel, a spiritual Jerusalem, which is in Revelation near the end there. And this bride, you know, I always like that verse in Song of Solomon's where it says, she's going out and looking for her beloved. And she says, have you seen my beloved? And they give her a statement. What makes you think your beloved is above our beloved? So we got to get back to Jesus. Just like, I think it's John G. Lake who said that too. You know, just there's so many different sayings that are by the slate of man, and the worst slate, I think, is when they take the letter of the word and make the spirit of the word the letter of the word, or they try to get you under the letter of the word. You know, when they take the New Testament, the spirit of the word, and give you a letter interpretation of it by trying to spiritualize it their way. So, and then there's taking the, for instance, the Proverbs 23 and not translating it when you bring it across the cross into the spirit of the word time. And it's a very huge difficulty for the church to do that. Because there's a lot to the spirit. There's a spirit to how he mentions the food there, and even the wine, you know, the hungry and thirsty of Matthew 25, you know, is a good comparison to some of the ways that they try to describe the food and the drink in Matthew 25, because they're different leaders, they're different rulers, you know, and it talks about putting a knife to your throat, and you know it, he's not talking literally there for us, and he wasn't even talking literally to the Jews 900 years before Christ, I think, when Proverbs was written. So they had a spiritual understanding there too, you know. They had grace in Proverbs chapter 3, and but with our New Testament, it expands on it so much more, especially in the book of Acts and afterwards. Anyways, praise and glory to God.
Amen. All right, Ben.
I got just a little bit of a question. I tend to not try and watch this guy too much, but there's a young man on YouTube, and he likes to go preach the gospel to a bunch of people that are like gay parades and at pro-Palestine parades and stuff. And he's very cordial as he's doing it, and he's very nice speaking, and he's very soft with the people when they're yelling at him and all that. And it's just like, I don't see him converting a lot of people doing this, so I don't necessarily think it's wrong what he's saying, but, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine, I think that. But then there are some times when it does get to some people, and it's just, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to be preaching the gospel to these gay parade people, because that's where they're doing their thing. But, you know, like, I don't think, like, I wouldn't stop this guy from doing this, because it doesn't seem like he's hurting anybody and they're not beating him up or anything. So, I don't know. What's everyone's take on that?
That's when you're led by the Spirit of God. That's the main thing right there. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I've seen people on YouTube and stuff where they're preaching. They're out there with, you know, just people just yelling at them and throwing stuff at them and all kinds of stuff, but they're still out there. And like Michael said, you know, they're accountable. Maybe that's what God's putting in their heart to do. And they maybe they are reaching some. I did see, I don't know where this was at. I'm not even sure if it was, I think it was in the United States somewhere, but this guy was out on the corner. Somebody was filming him. He was working with somebody. He wasn't there by himself, but he was preaching just, you know, the love of Christ and different things. And people were hackling him and, you know, throwing stuff at him. And this one, we'll just call him, because I don't know what he is. And he was confused about his gender. He's confused about who he is and all that stuff. But the guy kept coming back and listening. And he was still arguing with him. He was still, you know, throwing slurs and all kinds of stuff and trying to stand up for it. But somehow the work of God got broke through to him. And he started crying. He goes, I want to know Jesus. You know, and that kind of thing. Those are good. You know, when you hear that they get the breakthrough, you know, and they reach somebody, and then they showed him, you know, just putting his arm around him and praying for him and just showing the love of Christ to him. So there are people out there doing stuff like that. And, you know, if it's a gift of the Lord and they know what they're doing and they're supposed to be out there, God's going to work. He knows whose people are. So I don't agree with all that stuff. I've seen things on, you know, that if they're being called and they're out there evangelizing, that's, I think, what they're doing. That's what you're talking, you know, they're evangelizing. You can't, these people who are confused about, you know, gender and all that stuff, it, boy, that's a hard group to try to preach Jesus to. So pray for them that they're protected, you know, when you see that kind of stuff. That's the only thing I would do, is like, because they're in a rough place, you know. There's a lot of antichrist and a lot of hate and all that stuff, because the Bible teaches against, I mean, the real Christianity in the Bible teaches against that kind of thing, and a lot of churches embrace it, which we know is wrong. So that's my two cents.
Well, you can understand, if you can see this relationship. A person that preaches, a street preacher that preaches on the street, should be just like missionaries. He should be filled with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. Because you meet all kinds of crazy people out there. And when you are led by the Spirit of God, you're going to hit somebody's heart. God sent you out there to do one thing, and that's to get to this person's heart or a number of people's heart. But when you just go out there willy-nilly without the Spirit of God, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Go ahead, Ben, or Andrew, I'm sorry.
You know, it makes me kind of wonder that if you do see that and you're there in live and you do see that this guy is kind of speaking some common sense, I was kind of wondering maybe you should be praying in agreement with what he's trying to say, because this is a first evangelistic effort. You know, it's like when Billy Graham, we used to go to the cities, that was a lot of people's start there, you know. And, you know, even Paul, he was alone when he went to Athens. But in the other places, he had Silas with him. And even Barnabas had Mark with him. And when Paul first went out, he went out with Barnabas. So, you know, they were in groups, you know, and two will cast 10,000, you know. It's not uncommon for a person to have 2,000 demons in them. You don't want to meet him because he'll be running around in the tombs, you know, and won't have any clothes on. But, you know, there might be a lot of some really possessed people out there where prayer is going to be needed in the background also. A person who's very mature, like Paul was, would be able to bear his own in Athens, you know, and he was prepared for it before he talked to them. He saw the tomb of the unknown God. So God was preparing him, and he was preparing Peter on the rooftop. He was preparing these people. He was leading them into what he needed to give them for the information when he was going to progress in the next item that these apostles were going to go to. And that's usually what I think is most important for that open door that they used to pray for. And they used to ask for that in the New Testament also. So this is what you're praying for your loved ones at home. We agree with your prayers for all your loved ones, and we agree on a corporate stance for them too, that they would receive salvation, the covenant. But we know through what's about to come to pass that Daniel 9:27 has to come to pass, and there's an opposing covenant to the covenant. There is that wing or pinnacle of abominations. And abomination is a blasphemy in action, which you can see over there in chapter 13 from the first beast. And the second beast agrees with it because it says that. And of course, that 13 can cause the other 13 in Matthew to happen, and they're in the first land. And some people might lose their ability, as it is in the first land of the parable of the sower in chapter 13 of Matthew. So the 13s of Revelation and the 13s of Matthew actually collate with each other. And furthermore, the 13 of Romans, the first part where it comes up to the government, can collate with all three also. So these three 13s, Matthew 13, there's quite a few nice parables in there describing some of the items we encounter, the parable of the weeds. And it also says there in 13:9 of Matthew, the same thing it says in 13:9 of Revelation. And it's kind of interesting how that actually worked out. And of course, it talks about hearing. He who had the ears to hear, let him hear. And of course, in every single one of those seven churches, you know, talk about brain fog. They had some brain fog there. And it does say, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And in Hebrews chapter 3, it speaks of the Holy Spirit saith, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So, you know, there's some answers to how you're supposed to hear, you know. And of course, hearing is spirit, water, and blood. And those three witnesses will make you a really good witness. And of course, the name we're supposed to have, as Michael just read in Matthew 28, we're immersed in that name of God the Father, of God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that name has a lot to do with your witness. You know, nature, character, and authority. Mind, will, emotion, heart. If you're looking at some people in Genesis, and you have the lineage of Cain, and then you have the lineage of Seth. Well, these two lineages were apart from each other, and Cain lived longer. Cain was a full-grown man making offspring. Seth was a baby. He had to wait till he was about 30, 35 before he had children. And of course, we know that Cain went east, Adam and Eve went east of the Garden of Eden. When Cain made his error, he had to go east of them. And just how far east till these two populations came together and started to see each other, the descendants of Seth and the descendants of Cain. And we know that the Cain people had a spirit in them that was passed on by generation. And, you know, it's kind of like people today who are supposed to go as the parents to their children and be that set person, which is a type and shadow for us. And that Seth person would teach about God to whatever extent they had. But the Cain person couldn't do that because he had a spirit within him. The only way that Cain person could be saved in that portion of time is if God did it. And it's kind of an interesting scenario, because when you look at some of the things that happen today, you know, or even in Jesus's day, they thought those people were sinners when the tower fell on them. Well, you don't necessarily think this about the Twin Towers in New York, but some of them could have been saved and some of them might not have been. So it's a question of I'm not judging here, but to tell the people, you know, you know, it makes you think, because there was a huge war. And every time there's a war, they have to add more people to this war. And the World War II, you know, you could have had an access person or an alliance person that was called. But they never got to kill anyone because God was merciful to them and took them before they did any of that. But you see, it's not a judgment call. It's a statement that God knows what he's doing. He's sovereign. And that's all I'm saying there, that God's sovereignty has to move us into the position and into the way we're supposed to do this. You know, I don't like to envision it, but the trap door could have came down when they came into France. And a young man may have been there, 17, 18 years old, an alliance person, and he gets shot in the head right away. But God was merciful because he was a called man. The same thing, when the Allies came and shelled northern France, there could have been a German guy there, a young man. These are young men. They're not the old guys you see today, you know. And he's an access guy, and he just gets there, and one of the shells lands on the defensive place he is, and he passes away. But this is God's mercy taking these young people. And these young people were our future people who could have been very righteous men of God, bringing more people to Christ. That's the way I think of it, you see. And we lost a lot of good souls there. There was a lot of souls lost there. And instead of what happened there, something better should have happened. Something that should have taught them. Because most of these nations have had the word for over 1,000 years. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's true. All right, anyone else? One of the things that I used to do when I was first came into the kingdom was I'd go out handing out tracts and speaking to people, talking to people, and I had more and praying for people. I had more response from that than I ever did getting a loudspeaker and getting on it and bullhorning the people up and down the street. The 101 seemed to work for me. It doesn't work for everybody, but it did for me. And the reason it worked for me is because of the Holy Spirit and just knowing who to talk to and not who to talk to, you know. That's and that's key in that type of ministry, is knowing who and what to speak. And of course, the signs and wonders draw people too. The signs and wonders draw a lot of people. So anyway. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, just to stay on this topic kind of thing. I might be a little talkative with you guys, but I don't really talk much at all. I'm not much of a talker, really. I'm like my dad. Well, he talks a lot, but we're very quiet people, I should say. We're pretty quiet, and but when you get us talking, we can talk your ear off if we feel like it. And it's just it's not like I don't like being sociable. It's just I want a breakthrough of this, you know, this shyness, because I want to obey my God better. I want to be able to talk to people about this a lot better without, you know, second guessing if I did something wrong or did something right. It came out a lot better when I first started. I don't know. I'm guessing it's just like I'm trying to find an avenue. I've started my new job, and I guess I'm just trying to find that avenue on how to tell these guys about the good news, and they're good guys. They're different from the last guys, that's for sure. But yeah, I'm just trying to find an angle, I guess you could say, try to hit the break in the defense, and I don't know, just I love talking about Jesus and I love listening about him. But it's getting that conversation started, because some people take it pretty good. Some people are like listening, quote unquote. But I don't know. Sometimes it's just getting those first few words out of my mouth, and then it just comes out like it's a water of living waters coming out of my mouth or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. That's just something that's on my mind. I want to get out. I want to be, what does it say in that chapter in Romans? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I'm not saying that I'm ashamed, I'm just shy.
I can't tell that. Go ahead, Missy.
Hit the wrong thing. Well, like for in my experience, like what I do is I just ask the Lord to open the door, make opportunities for me to see, you know, like for me to share, like somebody might say something about something that I have an experience with, you know, he you know, like, you know, there a door might be open for me to share maybe personal experience of the Lord healing me or something like that, or you know, I mean, just ask for the Lord to open the doors and for you to recognize them and just give you the words, and he will, you know. That's just my thought on it. You know, don't, you know, it's like, because I know in my personal experience, there have been times when I think I've pushed it and not really led to the spirit, and it just don't flow. It goes. So, yeah, just Lord help Ben to just be at rest and not be worried about it, and just pray and ask you about the whole thing. And I know, Lord, you'll open the doors, you'll give him the words. You know, it's kind of like when somebody asks, like it says, don't think about what you'll say when they bring you before judges and councils and stuff like that. Well, it's kind of the same thing. The Lord will give you the words, you know. Don't worry about what you'll say. Because I know there have been times when I've had experiences where I've like talking to somebody and something will come out of my mouth and I'm like, where did that come from? Like in the back of my mind, I'm like, where'd that come from? You know, I'm like it was like you knew it was the Lord, but it's like, wow, you said something you didn't even give a thought about it. It just was out of your mouth and you knew it was the Lord. I knew it was the Lord. So just be encouraged. Just be encouraged. The Lord'll use you, and he'll open doors. Just believe him for that, and he'll do it. I believe he will. I'll give you the perfect words to say. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Ben.
All right, ma'am. Go ahead, Benita.
Hey everyone. I was just going to say one of the things that I've been doing or been led to do is just asking people where they go to church. Like we've been playing pickleball at this Methodist church, and not everybody goes to the Methodist church. So just opening it up, I'm like, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to, you know, this church in Ortonville. Where do you go? Oh, I go in Tennessee. Like, what? You go to church in Tennessee? How do you do that? And so that just kind of opens the door, and I'm like, well, this is how I ended up there, and this is what, I used to go to this Baptist church here, and I was doing that, talking to a lady that was playing pickleball with us, and I was like, yeah, I used to go to the Baptist church, but they don't believe in speaking in tongues, or they don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just had to go where they were speaking truth. And she's like, well, how can they not believe in speaking in tongues and stuff like that? And it was just so weird because she was just telling me how she likes to go to the Bible study, the ladies' Bible study at the Baptist Church in Ortonville. I'm like, well, why would you go there? They don't even speak in tongues, they don't believe the truth, the whole truth. So just planting that little nugget, I think, I don't know, she was really happy with the ladies there and going there and enjoyed the fellowship there. And so just, it's like, okay, we gotta get the truth here though, right? So that's just a way, an opener for me to start talking about my testimony and the truth and where I'm getting it from. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Now you planted some seed there. No doubt. All right. Anyone else? All right. You want to talk? Yeah, Jenny.
Just along with what everyone else has been saying, don't be in a hurry. Don't try to, keep your eyes open, your ears open, because a lot of times you could be in the grocery store, you could be at the gym, you could be getting gas, you could be, walking out to your car from somewhere or whatever, and lo and behold, here's an opportunity for you to help somebody, or you can see something that, or hear something, overhear something, and there it is. There's that open door for you. So I'm trying to think what scripture it is, or if it's a scripture or just something. One of those old teachings that David has on the website about, being filled first before you're sent and that kind of thing. And you fill up on the word, which you are Ben, but just don't want to, like, I remember David talking about these different ministers, maybe it was missionary or something like that. This guy wasn't ready, and David knew he wasn't ready, but he thought he was supposed to go out there and evangelize and go into the mission field or something like that, but he knew he wasn't ready. I don't know if it was that or whatever. And so we just can't rush anything. Just let God use you where you are. It's kind of like my ministry has been over the years is wherever God had me. It was at work with sometimes with people. It was been at the grocery store, my dentist's office one time. I do better with complete strangers, than people that because they know me as me, and it's like that was hard. The work office was hard because that was hard, but I still tried, try to be a light there. And I know there was people just finding out that they were Christians. I work with people all over the world, and finding out where they're from and stuff. And sometimes God just, there was like two women that they were both spirit filled, and God just connected us, and it was neat having somebody at work that I knew if I needed to, I could text them and call them and tell them to pray for me because I'm under warfare or something. But there were very, very few in the office and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a just being led of the Lord, and Lord will open up the door, and you're going to hear something, even if it's just praying for somebody, can I pray for you because you just, you witnessed something, you heard something. And yeah, just be available and let God move through you. Amen. That's all I got. But Pat's got a great story too, I'm sure.
Amen. That's kind of what I did at work too. I'd find somebody that was in need and go talk to them, and pray for them. and ask him, may I pray for you? Oh, gosh, yeah, please, most of the time. Some of them say, no, I don't need it. But that's what we do. All right, Pat, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask Ben a question, and that is this kind of started out with the individual that was preaching the gospel and, to those in gay parades and that sort of thing, which obviously is in an environment of confrontation, I'm suspecting. I get number one. The first question I have, was he of the spirit-filled persuasion, or was more of the non-spirit? Okay.
He would say that you need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that he can work in you and he can make you act in the way that he wants you to act. And he tried to explain it that way, and he was trying to explain that the nate it's God's nature working through you, and he had all different ways of trying to explain it to people. He would talk to, oh, that's my mama calling me.
Uh-oh. Getting called on the
Right.
carpet.
It's all good. I'll finish what I'm saying. And well, yeah, he did talk to a lot of like addicts, and I feel like he really helped them a lot because they let him pray. They let him pray over them and everything. And yeah, he was always like, "You got to be born again." He talked about that sometimes. He would also like ask for prayers of healing, like deliverance and all that. So yeah, I would say he was part of the spirit filled. I don't know what church he goes to, but all I see is he's always evangelizing.
Yeah. And was that something in his makeup or presentation or character that you admired that was contra or different than what you see in you or what was, I guess, was?
I admire the boldness because it just would come out so well with him, and it would come out so naturally, and like he would never try and be like conflicting with people. Like he would even walk up to Jehovah's Witnesses and have an amazing testimony. I feel like he was kind of attacking their doctrine a lot, but he really wanted to be bold and what the truth was, and he tried to separate them from, their JW stuff and be like, hey, no, this is the Bible, it's the Word of God. And like it's very admiring to see someone so natural and just being able to blah, like, but what about this? And then you got to get back to Jesus. Like what you're saying, it's not Jesus, and this is Jesus because it says it right here. And he was always He's never like yelling at them, and he's never like has a distasteful look, but he's always just very soft, and he's always like, I came here because I love you, man, and I just want to show you Jesus. And stuff like that, I admire when people say stuff like that. And
Okay. I mean, it was just questioning my mind. Obviously, he's prepared and in one form or another, but I think it's like everybody else. You have to listen to the Spirit of God and where He's leading you and training you. And obviously, the Lord's going to put us in situations, not only to break, maybe to communicate with someone else, but also probably maybe break things within us that limit, his spirit flowing or whatever. So it's obviously, we're told to go out and make disciples, but I'm not sure we ever quit being disciples ourselves. So, but anyway, no, I was I was wondering, it seemed like there was a, I can agree with what you're saying in that there's an attractiveness to that, that boldness. The thing I think about is Peter, at Pentecost. There was nothing resembling the night or two before when they were hovering in the room above for fear of the Jews. None of that was present when Peter stood up and started preaching at Pentecost. The result was what, 3,000 people being saved or whatever through that process. So the Holy Spirit unleashed in us is, obviously able to accomplish what is necessary. But I was just questioning as to, what were you thinking and what were you seeing through that process? So
He
thank
kind
you.
of reminds me of that New Zealand guy. I forget his name.
Yeah.
The guy with the
Ray
accent.
Ray
Ray
Comfort.
Comfort. Yeah,
Yeah.
he kind of reminds me of him.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anyone else? I did that Ray Comfort a lot, Ben. Same kind of stuff. That was a lot of fun, actually. All right. Anyone else?
Michael, what did you learn from the Ray Comfort process?
I learned this, that you had to be bold to use it, to utilize the way he did. I watched him enough to where I could do it just like he could and ask the right answers. And once you do that, they have to listen to you because of the Word of God, you know. I found it effective. A lot of times, not all the time. Yeah, Joe.
I hope I'm on the right topic about evangelism. It was for me, my first times were, I was scared to doing it because I know the Lord said you have to go and the Great Commission, you tell people about the Lord. But now my first couple of times was, I was scared. I was just going to people and giving them a tract. Some people says, no, I don't want that, and other different kind of excuses. So that was making me scared of, I don't know how to do it. But when time grew on and boldness, Lord gave me boldness and to talk to people. And then now it's easy. It's how the Lord leads you. I got some bad experiences and I got some very good experiences about talk to people, and but the Lord will lead you in every way. Just pray before it, before a time, and Lord will lead you what to say and what you can talk about. Most of it is well, I'm quite boldly these days on accepting of I'm talking a little bit, and I'm talking about what you believe. Why are you a Christian? What's your reason you're a Christian? Does it make a difference in your life? Just to be a Christian. That's usually my starting point is, if you're a Christian, what does it make a difference to you? Are you just like a religion person, religious, or will your Lord make a difference in your life? That's all I want to say, thanks.
Amen. Pat, did you ever do any of Ray Comfort stuff? You didn't?
I did not. I read his book. I even kind of forgot what his thing was, but I think he was, well, I forgot. for
Well, I'll
example,
tell you.
what?
I don't mind telling you, you go up to
Go ahead.
someone, you start a conversation with them, ask them if they were Christian. And if they said, yeah, well, let me just see if you're a Christian. And then he'd go into, have you ever lied? Well, yeah, everybody lies. Well, have you ever stolen anything? Yeah, I've stolen something. Everybody's stolen something. You know, well, have you ever lusted after a woman? Yeah. Then he'd go on, keep going down the line, and then he'd talk. He said, "So what you've told me as a Christian that you're a lying, thieving, lusty, you know, I need to go on down through there." And and then you tell him what a true Christian was. That's what he would do. He would get back to what a true Christian was, and that was someone who followed Jesus and had bore the fruit of Jesus. And he had all these little trinkets that you could give out. That's what I liked about him too. He had those Dick Chick books, you know. You know what the Dick Chick books were. Yeah. And but they were all geared to one thing, to start a conversation with somebody. You know, and you that's the way he did. He just want them to know that they're not really a Christian if they're not, if they're sinning. You know, that's the trouble with the denominational Christianity. They don't understand what sin is. They don't understand what a disciple is. We do because we've been taught that by David. We know that the fruit of Jesus Christ is what gets you to heaven. 30, 60, 100-fold. And so that's what we have to do, and that's what we have to get out to the people. You must bear the fruit of Christ. This is not once saved, always saved Christianity. And a lot of people rebuke it because they like their lifestyle, their flesh, over and above what they like with Jesus, you know. But when you give them the hard answers from the Word of God, you're praying that they will listen and understand that it's not what they've been told, but what's in the Word of God. And that's why most of the times when I go into a fellowship, I haven't in a long time, but if I go into a different fellowship, first thing I'll ask them, I said, "Do you believe that the Word of God is the true Word of God?" And we have to have a standard in order to find out what a Christian is. You can't go by the Baptist. You can't go by the Church of Christ. You can't go by the Nazarene. You can't go by the Church of God. You can't go by any of these denominations. The Word of God is what determines a Christian is. And when you get that across to them and they understand that, and you have to, you go into NENT. You tell them about that, about the numerics. I hadn't done that, but I can if I needed to. But you have to determine, you have to get it in their hearts that the Bible is the Word of God, and that's the standard we go by, not what some preacher says up there in the pulpit. And once you establish that, then you're home free. Go ahead, Andrea.
So there's one thing I'd like to say. If a person comes up to you and starts asking you those questions that the way Michael started, we know the answers, okay? And we know how to answer those questions. That has to be put in there, I think, because you may get tempted from something that you were thinking in the past, you know, before you were saved. So you know, it don't work that way with us because, you know, the tempter comes and tries to convict you, even if someone comes and asks you those questions, you know. So you got to say, well, there was a time when I did, but now the tempter might come, but I'm going to use my my Second Corinthians 10 and 5, you know, I'm going to cast down the imagination might come in as soon as he says that to you, you know. So you gotta cast down those reasonings or imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And of course, you have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I was thinking of that earlier, and all the power of the enemy. So there's serpents, scorpions. If you go to Revelation, there's a leopard. These are the other enemies, and they're named after animals. There's the bear. There's the lion. There's the dragon. And there's these frogs. And these are all these entities, classifications of different corporate bodies of demon spirits. And this leopard, he tries to get you going. You know, he this leopard used to come to Jesus and say, "Hey, should we pay taxes or not?" You know, and you don't want to get a leopard will sneak up you behind your back and jump on your back before you even know it. So, you know, there, and of course the frogs are the temptations for fornications and adulteries and stuff, and that's a bad one too. And of course the dragon is just a snake with legs. Anyway, that's why the dragon gives the power to the beast, because he's gonna start to walk when the iron and clay comes in, because the man's full figure is made. So I had to say that, because I don't know why I had to say it, just in case someone was going to listen in the future. Praise and glory to God.
Yeah, that was his way. That was Ray's way. Go ahead, Pat.
So I even listening to you know him speak, he basically tries to pin down the facts with knowledge, with, you know, with logic, I guess you might say. But one problem or what am I trying to say? Not in the approach that he's taking, but in the target audience that he is hitting, is a concept or the belief system that there are, that living your own life is an option in the kingdom. In other words, we have studied and learned and become at peace with the fact that there is only one life available for salvation, and that is the life of Jesus. So the concept is to those would be, how do you get that? So how do I get that life of Jesus? Because when you're in that, the frame of the mindset that, you know, I have forgiveness of my sins, and yet I can still live this life, my life, you know, I can live my life, and I can live it as best I can, and, you know, try to, you know, be as good as I can. And, you know, God knows my heart, that I, you know, that's always the, you know, one of the standard, God knows my heart. You know, I'm not living like a righteous person, or, you know, and I have my faults, but God knows my heart. And with that frame of reference that, that God sent Jesus to clean us up and to give us a better life. And if there's not that understanding that the better life is Jesus' life being exchanged in the death of my life, then it's then those words sometimes that evangelism process there is kind of is almost kind of neutralized. I think back at the perfect example of how that life happens, how that life is, the simplicity of it is demonstrated in Mary when she was talking to the angel that was giving her the message of Christ being born in her, and her simple, when the angel told her that she was, beloved and chosen of God to bring forth the Messiah, she had questions in her mind automatically. I'm a virgin, and it's God's law, God's word, that I do not will not allow myself fornication before marriage, or sexual activity before marriage. So, how's this going to happen? And she had to weigh that whole process out because, she was counting the cost. And when the angel, let her know that the Holy Spirit of God will come over you, and that which is going to be born in you is the Son of God. And when she, counted that cost, because she also knew that there's going to be certain ramifications of this. In 9 months, she's going to have a child, and everybody out there in the world, including her family, certainly is not going to jump on the fact that it was the Holy Spirit of God that came over her and impregnated her. So she knew that her life was going to be ridiculed or whatever. She was going to be judged. But she said, I agree with your word. Let it be according to your word. And when she received that word, she accepted, she received it into her heart by faith. That's when Jesus the seed of Jesus came into her by faith. Obviously, I'm not telling anybody anything new here, but it is that continued exchange, the word of God coming to us, and us receiving that word of God, maybe not understanding all the ramifications, but knowing it's the word of God and saying, I receive your word, Lord. Nevertheless, I don't know where it's going in me, but I believe it because it's your word and I receive it. And there's a death process that takes place there. And obviously, we, in the discipleship process that the Lord takes us through, that happens on a continual basis within us, exchanging, re putting to death the old and receiving and learning to walk in the new. And that life being received of the Word of God in action is the life of Jesus within us. That concept alone is foreign for the majority, I'm going to say, of Christendom today, because that is not a mandatory process that is happening within us if we're disciples of the Lord. It's good for missionaries and good for people that are sold out to God, and it's good for some people, but I can still live this over here. I can still live my life over here. You know, if things get tough, I can always just live my life. And with that thinking that that is optional, or that is an option, that belief cripples the motivation that God gives us in order to pursue and not give up and patiently endure and settle for nothing less than Jesus. So I agree that, you know, I mean, Ray, in his process that he uses is very good. But I believe that there's a system of belief that needs to be taken down and neutralized, you know, in the system, shall we say, before those processes become truly effective. Now, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but it appears to me that is the case. But anyway, I'm rattling now, so I'm going to shut up.
Okay, anyone else? Let me get rid of this thing here. Okay. Anyone else? You were on the right trail, and I think Andrew was on the right, good right trail too. When we come to Christ, we have become a new creation in our spirit. But then the Lord tells us that we have to renew our mind. And how we renew our mind is what determines what our outcome is going to be. If we renew our mind with the Word of God all the time, listening to the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, then you start breaking down those old natural habits that you used to have. Then you start becoming more like Christ. And that in the days to come will be some of the message that we give to people. Well, how do I change the way that I am into the way that Jesus looks like? And you have to tell them what the Word says. The Word says, renew your mind with the Word of God. You do that, that's what happens. Once you get that Word in here, you start looking like Jesus. You start, that light will come on and you start shining. And that's a little encouragement. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's the start right there, is just renewing your mind with the Word of God. When you renew your mind with the Word of God, you put the Word of God in your brain, you start breaking down those strongholds and you start making paths for the Word of God to be thought about all the time. You think about the Word of God a lot more than you would if you didn't read the Word of God and the old thoughts kept coming back to you all the time. One good one that I used to study a lot was Romans 8 and 13. Those who live by the flesh are going to die by the flesh. And you get that in your mind, you say, okay, well, I can't live by the flesh. I have to live by the Spirit of God. And those kind of things there is what strengthens your walk every day when you do that. Yeah, Pat, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand up there. It was up there on your shelf.
It's okay. I was thinking of that. Another thing that was very helpful, I know, to me, and that is that verse in Romans. It said, "Let God be true, and every man a liar."
Amen.
And there's a frame of reference, you know, there that you know is necessary. Not that you're looking on, you know, other people as every one of them's a liar, you know. But the foundation that the potential that that there's a potential that men can, number one, can be liars, bold, you know, can be liars with intent, but more often can be deceived and are simply parroting what they believe to be true, or some other form, you know, like that. And so, you know, the Lord wants us, and quite frankly, once we learn the ropes a little, we realize that one of those men is dwelling right here in me. So I have to, you know, be sure that what I decide to believe, if I want the truth, it's got to be God's word, starting with God's word. And if somebody tells me different, then I need to have a healthy, not disrespect, a healthy critique, I guess you might say, especially if it goes against God's word. Which obviously doesn't mean that one needs to become argumentative or contentious or, you know, combative or anything like that. But it's like that nugget, you know, you see it and you put it in your heart and you hold it there, and might be better off served but letting that individual continue on in their ways or whatever. But just that frame of reference, let God, and the interesting thing, it's he says, let God. It's like, you know, we know God is true, and God does not lie. God cannot lie. God is truth. But Paul in that verse is encouraging us to let God be true. Let him be true in you. Let him, you know, so it just gives us a frame of reference to of stability to as an anchor, I guess you might say, to focus on, not be drawn away by what other people would say or think. But anyway, that's it.
Guess you could probably hear me if I'd unmute. Thank you, Pat. Anyone else? Anybody got a question? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, Pat was saying, let, you know, we did a little, it reminded me about our lettuce, you know, and the let is the really more important part of that, because it's let God be found true. And, you know, just like it says in Philippians chapter 2, where it says about God working in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And so, you know, that let God be found true, you know. And of course, that letting would also give you a repentance and a correction, an instruction in righteousness, and a rebuke. You see, some people don't want to be rebuked. They want to progress in the wrong direction. They love darkness and they want to go that way. And that's what it says in John chapter 3, I think it's verse 20, you know, they won't accept a rebuke. They are prideful and proud. And, you know, there is 3:16, but you should read to 3:21, because there is a progression in that love that God gave to us in John 3:16. And it's unto, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe unto him shall have everlasting life. And that unto comes later on for the darkness person in, I think, verse 20. And, you know, they just, they love something more than what God wants to give them. And of course, they just need correction and instruction, and only God can make them overcome. Only God can give them what they need. Only God can give them the correction. God does everything. You know, he has to work it all out for all the people. All that you've been corrected of by God, whether it be through scripture or whether it be through UBM, the different things you've read, the books, it's still all from God. Or whether it be on a personal level, or whether you even gain something through the fellowships we have here, it's all embraced and given to you by God. So praise and glory to God. And that's why you would listen intently to some of the righteousness and prophecy and the rewards of, I think it's Matthew chapter 10, or is it Luke? I can't remember. When you're around a prophet, you get a prophet's reward according to the prophet's name, and the righteous man and the disciple according to that cold glass of water too. So in the disciple's name, and there's a lot of things that even a father can learn from a disciple on how to raise children. How to go about the chastening of a child and why it's done. And ultimately the child understanding that even daddy can have a spanking from his father, because we're only practice dad. And there is the harder thing that the father has to do after the chastening happens. He has to go into that bedroom and tell the child what just happened after he calms down. And so there's a lot to teach that people need to understand. And there's a lot to this spirit of the word, because I know of a person when I was in grade school. He was a really nice guy. And he's in prison. He was overly corrected by his father, and he did something wrong, and something terrible. And I don't think he had that second visit from his dad to tell him why he got a spanking. And anyways, praise and glory to God. The hard part is after the physical chastening. You know, some kids, you know, they'll start thinking, oh, daddy doesn't love me anymore. And then they'll go to mommy for help. You know, oh, no, he still loves me, you know. And I'm sure we've all were there once as children. And, some of them get really hurt real bad, you know. Even, you know, I used to have a Baptist friend across the street, you know. I'm sure he tasted the different bars of soap that he had there in that family. And you can feel real insulted because you had to do that, you know. And you know what I'm saying. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I wouldn't know a thing like that. Mm-mm, no. Yeah, of course. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a question? Anybody got an answer? Speak up now. Patrick's got the answer. Go ahead, Pat.
I think Andrew was going to say something, weren't you?
Oh, okay.
I know who's got the answer.
Amen. It's
Jesus, and it's God, and it's getting drowned in that water, you know? Finally, let it happen, you know, immersed in the Spirit and the Father and in the Son. You know, we just got to get immersed.
Amen.
Immersed. And the Holy Spirit is a real good one. If you get immersed in that, can you imagine in this name, to have this name so well and so right, to be immersed in the Father, God the Father? You know, Jesus even hints at it, you know, if any love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love. I mean, that love, it's got to immerse us. Never fails. So, praise and glory to God.
Joe, did you have something you wanted to say?
I have a question, but you can do it next time. So it's fine. Well, good time. Now we've got Matthew 5, chapter 5. Verse 54 to 56.
What do you say, Judy?
You said Matthew 5. What verses, Joe?
34 to 56.
34 to 56?
Yeah, 34. 35 and 36.
Oh.
My question is just for Michael or anybody else is, you said, swear not, neither by the heaven, it's the throne of God, or the earth, it's his footstool, or Jerusalem, it's the city of a great king, or swear by the head. What's that meaning of that for groups or for saints? I know heaven is God's throne and footstool. This is for his feet, but Jerusalem. What is that Jerusalem for? It is a city of a great king. What's that spiritual meaning of that for saints, as they call it, right, saints?
All right, Julie.
He wants to know specifically, like verse 35, about why it's like, you know, we're not supposed to swear, right? Do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. He was questioning that part. And neither shall you swear by thy head, cannot make one hair white or black. So the part about Jerusalem, why did he say Jerusalem? Don't swear by Jerusalem. Is that what you meant, Joe? Keep pushing that
Who is
verse.
Jerusalem and who?
Which Jerusalem do you think he's talking about?
If it's of a great king, it must be, sorry, the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God.
Yep. Yep, I believe you
I
answered it.
agree.
Amen.
Swear by my head. Is it just a submission? But 46. Will swear by my head.
Can you repeat that, Joe? I didn't understand what you're saying.
Verse 56. My head, neither shalt thou swear by my head. Who's that head? It's just a submission under authority.
Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the question?
Joe was saying the head meaning submission. Is that right, Joe? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, it's swear by the head. You're under submission. You cannot swear. Oh, what's the meaning of your submit to? Is it any authority of what does it mean that?
Authority, like our authority, because we have the mind of Christ, or what?
No, I'm asking. That's what I said. I'm asking it. Neither
Okay.
swear by A.
All right, let's let Andrew go.
I'll give you a hint. I think it has something to do. Remember when Paul was under arrest at Claudius Lystras? He's in the castle, and there was a certain amount of people, 40 of them, that made an oath. They swore to something that they wouldn't eat anything till they killed Paul. So if they followed Jesus' instructions on all these oaths, on these, they wouldn't have done that. And that's where I think you have to, the interpretation of these words have other areas within scripture that there is a, of course, you want to be o obedient. This is why he says your oath should be yes, or no, I think, considering they were all Jews under even an old covenant, that was a no. You don't want to get thrown into a pit if you're Joseph by your brothers, and you don't want to end up with a foreign woman, and they sold them to the foreign woman, which is one of the verses that I had in Proverbs 23. They made a double. They made a. They made. They took them out, but then they sold them to the Ishmaelites. So that there was a certain verse in Proverbs 23 where he went back into another pit of a different kind to the foreign woman, and so these oaths that people think, or these big bright ideas, they're not really bright ideas, I would think. Anyway, so praise God. I don't know if that helps.
All right, Pat, go ahead.
I think the thing that is coming to me, and instead of focusing on the individual parts, reading the whole thing, from 34 to 37. And it kind of, to me, it's basically saying, even though you're a disciple, you are a man, and you don't really know what's going to happen or what isn't going to happen. We all have good, ideas about what we think, but the only one that really knows where this thing is going is God, and he's the only one that can lead us there. And for us to swear, make a promise, or that sort of thing, we don't really know if we can back it up. We have good intentions that we're going to back it up, but we really don't know. We quite frankly don't know that we're going to have another breath after this one that I'm breathing now. Only God knows those things, and so I guess that's why he's encouraging us to shy away from promises or oaths or that sort of thing, and stick just to yes and no type thing. So that's the only thing I was thinking.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
The apostle Peter said, even if I have to die with you, Lord. He made an oath. And all the other apostles did too, and they didn't trust in themselves. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? And some of them made these statements or oaths, not trusting in themselves. But Peter said something too that he had to overcome when they took Jesus. And they all left him. They made a promise there. Oh, I won't leave you, Jesus. And of course, it's because of the timing that the cross and the resurrection didn't happen for them yet. But they didn't trust in themselves at the Last Supper too. To run through a troop and leap over a wall, is a Passover, and Peter and these disciples passed over that. They made it through to the book of Acts, except one of them who betrayed him. So I don't know if that helps either. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Let's see here. Yeah, it is, Pat. Judas says Matthew 5:34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is the throne of God. Nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet. Nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black. Well, that's what we've been looking at. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're out of time. Lord, bless our night tonight or our day today or ever what it is, wherever we are. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. And Lord, we thank you that we do have great and bold faith to believe that all we have to do is just speak the word and it'll happen. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?